Welcome to the Plenteous Redemption Podcast, where the cross and the culture are on a collision course for discussion.
For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require signs, the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God.
Now, here's your host, Thomas Ervin.
Let's see what we got this evening. We're going to talk about the Lord coming for his saints. And then next Sunday, Lord willing, we'll start in John 14 tonight. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about the Lord coming with his saints, because that'll be a blessing. I can't even fathom what that day is going to be like, but man, what a day that's going to be. And again, I often wonder, and maybe Brother Hoyt, maybe you have some ideas, but what are we going to do? I mean, just what does the Lord need us to do? So we're going to be riding back. He's on that white horse in front of us. We get to ride white horses back with him just because he said, wherever I'm going to be, you get to be where I am. And so what are we going to do? Miss Hazel, what are you going to do on that day? So I don't know. Maybe we get to just watch. I have no idea the Lord might let us participate, but it would be about like, my son loves to help with everything, and it is not helpful at all. So I could just imagine the Lord saying, okay, Thomas, you can go take one of them out and, you know, get one of my enemies, just get that one. And then as I go up to him, the Lord's behind me, you know, overlooking at the, you know, the enemy just dies of a heart attack because he sees the Lord. And then I'm like, yeah, look what I did. So that's what we'll talk about. And then the following Sunday, we'll start on a few sermons on our doctrinal position regarding the Holy Spirit, who often gets left out. And we don't want to leave him out. Now, we probably won't spend as much time on the Holy Spirit during this as we did on Jesus Christ. But we will talk about the Holy Spirit, who he is, what he is, why he's here, his purpose, all those good things. We want to make sure that we're all on the same page about that. But tonight, this evening, Jesus Christ is coming for his saints. He is going to come back and take us to be with him. Now, one of two things is going to happen. You're either going to die and go through the doors of death and go to be with the Lord, or you're going to be alive on the earth and he's going to come back to call us up to meet him in the air. Without a doubt, one of those two things is going to happen to you. It is an absolute fact that one of those two things are your future. You're either going to pass through the doors of death. I don't know which one I would prefer. If I could just die easy somewhere, just sit in a chair and not wake up, I think I'd rather do that. Because I'm still not too keen on that being called up to meet the Lord in there. Just don't look down. Don't look down. So I don't know when the translation happens and we're given that new body in that process. I mean, it says it's in the twinkling of an eye. We'll look at it tonight. So maybe it's in the twinkling of an eye before my feet leave the ground. And then okay, you know, no problem. But otherwise, whew. That's going to be a interesting ride. You talk about a roller coaster ride. I mean, that. All right. John 14, let's read verses 1 through 3. Verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And that's it. That's the key. Now, what we often ask people, and we've talked about it here before, is do you want to go to heaven when you die? And that's, you know, a lost person, that's, if you were to say, do you want to go to a lost person, you want to go be with Jesus when you die, they're like, well, who is that? I don't know. Why would I want to go be with that person? You know, so the way to entice them, I guess, do you want to go to heaven when you die? And when they say yes, they have some idea of what they think heaven is. And of course, their idea of heaven is going to be all fouled up. It's not going to be correct. They're thinking of somewhere they can kick back, drink daiquiris, and you know, just splurge on themselves in some sort of eternal peace. And that's not how it's going to be. We're going to be worshiping Jesus Christ. We're going to be with Jesus Christ. The people in heaven are very active at the throne of Jesus Christ. And it's all about Jesus. So that's what heaven is. So if you don't like coming to church and worshiping God in church here and now, I mean, you're going to hate eternity if you go to heaven, because that's what it's going to be. Right now, the four and twenty elders, that's picturesque of the church at the foot of the throne, worshiping Jesus Christ, casting their crowns at his feet. Right? And so if that's not what you're looking forward to, somebody sold you a false bill of goods. I mean, I hope you got saved because you're going anyways, but if you know, if going to be with Jesus is not your hope, then you've been misled. And you know, if I can help correct that, I'll be happy to. But you know, sometimes people need to live under that delusion and just let them grow a little bit in the Lord. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And when I am ready, I will come back to get you. Now, either you're going to pass through the doors of death, and the Bible says you'll be, if you're saved, you'll be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Now, one day you will reunite with that body and then be called up to meet the Lord in the air. All right? So that's the rapture. That's what we're talking. That's the Lord, that's Christ coming for his saints. In the Bible, it's called the catching away. We often call it the rapture. All three terms, no, perfectly fine. Nothing wrong with any of those terms. Okay, they all fit the bill, the situation. But this is the idea. That's what we're going to see this evening, is that if you're dead, that means you have passed through the doors of death. Your physical body is buried in the earth. Hopefully, I guess if you live in New Orleans, it's in a tomb on the earth. You know, some places it's a little different, but you've been put in the tomb for your flesh to be eaten by worms and to rot. I know, it's a beautiful picture, huh? But that person, their soul has gone to be with the Lord. Their body is still here. One day they will be reunited with that body. The dead in Christ shall rise first. So they will rise up to meet the Lord in the air. Then they which are alive and remain will follow. All right, so if you're still alive and the Lord comes, if the Lord comes right now, we'll be part of the people who remain. We will follow the dead in Christ who are going to rise out of the graves. That body is going to be put back together. The same dust that the Lord used to make Adam, he can put your body right back together like he did in the first place. It's not a problem for God. And then in that body, you'll be called up to meet the Lord Jesus Christ in the air. Which again, so I guess you don't get to escape the flying through the air either way. So, just, Lord, please change me before you do it. Otherwise, you'll hear me screaming all the way up like a little girl. Don't laugh at that. That's I'm honest enough to admit it. All right, so some of you are like, nah, I'll be fine. Yeah, right. You get about 1,000, 2,000, 20,000 feet into the air and you look down. Yeah, well, hopefully you won't be looking down. But I'm just going to be like this the whole way, just eyes covered. I don't want to see nothing. So that's our future. And praise the Lord. That's an exciting future. That's something to look forward to, especially with heart trouble and breathing trouble and all the other troubles that everybody has and the problems that these bodies give us, well, one day the Lord's going to fix all that and take you to be with him. Brother, it's going to be an incredible day. But that's the one of the most integral, fundamental aspects of Christianity in this life. How can you go through so much trouble and be happy and joyful and peaceful? I have a blessed hope. I have something to look forward to. This is not the end. I just have to endure through this and not just endure, but Jesus Christ can help you endure this with joy, peace, happiness, long suffering, all these wonderful fruits of the Spirit, because I've been sealed with the Spirit of God. I belong to Jesus Christ. I have the Word of God. I have a Bible believing church. I have hymns to sing. God's given me so much. I'm a pilgrim passing through this life, and when this pilgrimage is over, then I'm going to be given a whole new body, and I'm going to go to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. No more tears, no more sorrow, no more pain, no more night. All that is gone. It's all long gone, and I get to be with the Lord Jesus Christ for eternity. No going back. No starting over. No redoing this. All I got to do is here and now be faithful to Jesus Christ, and then I have that as my future. With an inheritance, along with rewards for being faithful to the Lord here and now. What a deal. I mean, praise the Lord. That is abundantly exciting. That's a great, great future to look forward to. Now, I'm way ahead of myself, so let's get back to the beginning. It's important to distinguish between the Lord's coming for his saints and the second coming. They are not the same. They are two completely different events, and they often get mixed up. So when you're reading about the Lord coming back, you've got to be careful to discern the context to determine, is this the rapture where he's taking the church away, or is this the second coming when he's coming physically down to put his feet on the earth atop the Mount of Olives? It's important to distinguish between those two. In the first, the Lord comes back to fulfill his promise to catch away his saints, to meet them in the air. At the second coming, the Lord will come with his saints to put down his enemies and establish his kingdom on earth. All right, so the rapture, he doesn't come down to the earth. He comes up to the sky or to the earth's atmosphere, you know, wherever he decides we're going to meet him, and we're going to leave the earth and go to be with him. And then Antichrist is revealed, tribulation begins, and all hell literally breaks out on earth. All right, it's not the misuse of the term that you hear the world play with. It will literally be, God's wrath will be poured out on this earth during the tribulation. We'll be gone. We will be with the Lord Jesus Christ. But then when he comes back to put down his enemies and to break Gentile power and to establish his kingdom on earth, we come back with him. So all those prophecies we read of Jesus Christ coming back and going to war with his enemies on earth, we will be with him. Again, I don't know what we're going to be doing, enjoying the Lord's victory, following, shouting, screaming. Maybe we just get to carry a banner and wave a flag in there. I don't know. But it'll be an exciting time. And all the frustrations we have now with crooked presidents and crooked governments and crooked people and transgenderism and homosexuality and people trying to influence your children to do ungodly things and human trafficking and drug addiction and alcoholism. I mean, the list just goes on and on. All gone. It'll all be over. Jesus Christ is going to rule and reign in righteousness with a rod of iron. Now, I'm sure in this room, we could hear some stories about somebody getting spanked when they were young. I have some. I have never been spanked with a rod of iron. Praise the Lord. But the Lord's going to rule and reign with a rod of iron. And so the rapture and the instruction given by the Lord in John 14 left the apostles confused. You're going away. Where are you going? And you know what he told them? You know where I'm going. I don't know where you're going. And you know how to get there. Well, Lord, we don't know. Why don't you tell us the way? We don't know the way. And what was his answer? I am the way. If you want to go to the place that I am preparing for you in heaven, the way is me. I am the way. And so that's the disciples are trying to discern all this. They had no understanding that Christ came to die, nor did they understand he would return to the earth's sky and call away his saints. Their focus was on the kingdom here and now, not as a future event when the Lord makes his final return. Their entire thought process was the kingdom here on earth right now. But Jesus came to die on the cross. And then when he comes back to get his saints, he's still not coming to establish the kingdom. He's coming to take them away. He said, I will build my church. When the church age comes to an end, he will call the church away. Tribulation will begin. It'll last 7 years. At the end of that 7 years, the Lord's coming back with his saints. And then we'll establish his kingdom on earth for 1,000 years. After that 1,000-year reign, Satan will be loose for a little while. And then the Lord will have that final battle. Then the whole earth and heavens are going to be dissolved with a fervent heat. Everybody's going to be judged that didn't trust in Jesus Christ, cast into the lake of fire. And then a new heaven and a new earth will be formed. And that's where we get to hang out until the Lord goes to do something else. And there's a good chance he's probably got something else to do. We think all he's done is deal with us for eternity, and that's not the case. How long is eternity anyways? Yeah. And that's what God's been busy for a little while. Our little blorp of time is nothing to the Lord. And so that's the future. But the Lord said, I am leaving you, and one of the many reasons for my departure is to go and prepare a place for you. And when the time comes, I will come for you. That is absolutely going to happen. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And we'll read verses 13 through 18. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died, question, you believe that Jesus died? All right, now the premise of the argument is, number one, if we believe Jesus died, do you believe that? Okay, well, what's the next premise? And rose again. Well, do you believe that? Okay, if that is true, even so, them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. If it is true that Christ died and rose from the dead, then anybody who dies in Christ Jesus will also rise from the dead. It's absolutely going to happen. That's the premise. That's the basis of the argument. The Apostle Paul was of course, he's writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but he was a master at laying out logical, theological arguments, clear and hard to argue with. Here's the premise. Did Christ die and rise from the dead? Yes. If that's true, then you who are in Christ Jesus will rise from the dead if you die. It is absolutely going to happen. That's the argument that he's putting forward. All right. And then it continues, verse 15. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord. All right, so where did his argument come from? God, the word of God. All right, he said, the Lord told us this. This is where I got this from. I'm not making this up. This didn't just come from me. This comes from the Lord. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. So there's no relationship between those who are in Christ Jesus and still alive. There's no way that they are going to prevent those who died in Christ from rising from the dead. It's absolutely going to happen. All right, and that's somehow these people allowed somebody to confuse them about that. And so he's telling them, first of all, if Christ died and rose again, you're going to die and rise again. Secondly, if you're alive when Christ comes, you're not going to hinder those who died in Christ. Right? That's the argument. Verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Anybody who died in Christ Jesus will rise from the dead. They will be reunited with their physical bodies. They're going to come out of the grave like the Old Testament saints did when Jesus Christ rose from the dead. And they're going to be called up to meet the Lord in the air. You being alive in Christ will do nothing to hinder that. Right? Somehow they had been convinced that it could cause problems. Then verse 17, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever, ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. All right, so this is caused people to be distraught. And so the Lord said, these are going to be comforting words. You are going to go be with Jesus Christ forever. Now imagine if I came to you and said, well, Brother Hoyt, I know you've had some trouble, but the tribulation is going to begin soon. You're going to have to go through it. Would that comfort you? How comforting would that be? It's just 7 years. Yeah, horrible is not even the word. When people tell me, I think the church is going to go through the tribulation, my next question to them is, have you read the book of Revelation? Do you know what's happening during that time? What do you mean the church is going to go through it? If you had to enter into it, there's a very slim chance you're going to go through it. All right, now, will some people go through it? Yeah, the Bible indicates some people will go through it, but it's going to be a tiny number, and you don't want to go through it. Now, how can the Lord say, comfort one another with these words if you're going through the tribulation? That's not comforting. Praise the Lord, brother. Tribulation could start any day. You ready? You thought getting pigs on a trailer was hard. Wait till the tribulation comes. Now that comforts nobody. The reason we have a blessed hope is not just because we get to go be with Jesus, but because we are going to escape God's wrath. You will not go through the tribulation. You will not see hell. You're going to be called away before the tribulation, and then you will ever. Well, how long is that? Ever? Well, until when? Ever? When does it stop? Ever. You will ever be with the Lord. Well, where is he going to be? Who cares? We get to be with him. Wherever he goes, whatever he's doing, we get to go. In fact, we get to be like one of those annoying little kids. Like, I want to go. What are you doing now? Where are you going now? Where are you going next? I want to go. Can I ride? Can I see? Wherever he goes, whatever he's doing, we get to go. We get to be part of it. That is comforting to know that the one who shed his blood for me is going to make certain that I get to be with him for eternity, wherever he is and whatever he's doing. Praise the Lord. That's exciting. And so you're going through the tribulation. Hope that's comforting. No, you will never see the tribulation. You're going to go and be with the Lord for eternity. That's comforting. The Lord said, take this news, this information, and go comfort the brethren with it. You're not going to hinder anybody from coming. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Those which remain will go after him. But we all get to go be with the Lord Jesus Christ and be with him for eternity, forever. That's the reality. Praise the Lord. That's what I'm looking forward to. Eventually, the Lord will leave his throne in heaven and return to the earth's atmosphere. And from there, he will call us up to meet him in the air. Now, again, I'm not sure how much I'm going to enjoy the leaving the ground to getting in the air, but I sure look forward to being with the Lord forever. I hope my family, every member of my family gets to be there. I hope all my friends get to be there. I hope everybody gets to join this blessed hope, this incredible future with the Lord Jesus Christ. Why would you want anybody to miss that? But they're not gonna be there if we don't go and tell them about the Lord and what he's done for them. If they don't trust in Jesus Christ. And that is the only requirement. It's not your behavior. I mean, you should try and live godly in Christ Jesus, but that does not determine whether you get to go to be with the Lord or not. He promised, if you trust me for the salvation of your soul, I am going to take you to be with me. That's the promise. And he is not slack concerning his promises. He is going to come back and do exactly as he said. Look at John 5. John And we'll see the similar idea in John 5. John 5, verses 28 through 29. Verse 28, "Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation." There will be multiple resurrections, and along with those resurrections are raptures. And if you have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be resurrected and you'll go to be with the Lord and all will be well. If you rejected him after the 1,000-year reign, when he puts Satan down finally and throws him in the lake of fire, there will be another resurrection in which death and hell will give up the dead in them, and then they will all be judged, and the outcome is not great for those people. When the Lord calls us to meet him in the air, we will be given translated bodies. That is, they'll be changed to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what in the world that entails? The only thing I can tell you is it'll be holy, it'll be righteous, it'll have no desire for sin. Outside of that, your guess is as good as mine. Now, you are talking about a Lord Jesus Christ who we read it a couple of weeks ago, where he rose from the dead. Mary Magdalene standing in front of him, and he says, "Don't touch me. I haven't gone to my father." And then just a few verses later, he tells Thomas, "Touch me, handle me," meaning in a moment's time, he was able to go up to heaven, report to his father in heaven, and come back to earth so that the disciples could touch him. Now, will we be able to do that? Our bodies will be like his, so there's a good chance. That'll be kind of neat. It'd be kind of neat to be able to do it and not be concerned about it. Right now, if you said, "Well, you can do it right now," and I'll just hang out here on the ground and not float around. So the dead in Christ will rise first, and then soon after, those who are alive in Christ will follow. And then in this event, the entire church, dead or alive, will be removed from the earth and taken to be with the Lord. And then later, the resurrection of the unjust will take place. Look at 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 50 through 58. Verse 50. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." There's no other way. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." That's a lot of consolation. That is a lot of hope. Why keep laboring? Why keep pushing through the pain? Why keep dealing with the frustration? Because you have a blessed hope. Because you have a future to look to. You have a Lord Jesus Christ who sees what you're going through and what you're enduring, and he intends to reward it if you remain faithful. That's why. That means you push through now. In eternity, you've got a very bright eternity ahead of you. If you endure now, you give up now. I mean, you still have it's still going to be great in eternity, but it won't be quite the same. You should go in. You should approach life understanding right now what I do right now will have a long-term bearing on what happens to me in eternity, on my status, on my reward, on what I have in eternity. And so being faithful now determines that. Now, some people say, well, I'm just happy to go to heaven. Well, that's great. But the Lord didn't tell you to just be happy going to heaven. The Lord said, I want to reward you for your faithfulness. I want you to go after this like it's a race. I want you to push hard, work hard, endure like a good soldier for Jesus Christ. Be happy at the reproach and at the persecution. Overcome it, enjoy it, move on. I was persecuted, so are you going to be persecuted. But I want to reward you because you were faithful through all of that. You pressed through it all, came out on the other end, still in service to Jesus Christ. Then when you go to be with the Lord, you will be rewarded for it. Rather than just saying, well, I'm saved. I'll see the Lord when I get there. Well, you will. And it's going to be good in heaven. I mean, this is not, there's no, it's hard to say that there's no losing, you know, in this situation. You still get to go to heaven. But why go sit on the floor in heaven when you could have this great reward because you did your best to please the Lord and it was His desire for you to do that? Why not push hard and serve Him now? Why not give your all now for Jesus Christ so that in eternity He can bless you extra because of your faithfulness now? That is the indication of the Bible. He wants you to work hard. He wants you to serve Him. He wants you to go that extra mile now here so that He can reward you even more in heaven on top of all the great things that He already has planned to give to you. And so that is my hope. That's what I want for me and my family. We want to lay up treasure in heaven. Set your affections on things above, all right, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of the Father. That's where our future is with the Lord. Now, this idea presents us with one of the difficulties that the world has with Christianity. The Lord expects us to approach this life with a long-term perspective, regardless of the troubles we face. And in this life, you can face some horrible troubles. Some people go through some terrible things. And what the world wants is they want to be able to say that if I become a Christian, then God makes the troubles go away. But that's not how it's going to work. If you become a Christian, God will help you endure the troubles. And then some people are going to be subject to some horrible things. Well, Jesus Christ will reconcile those things in eternity. That's when the reconciliation happens. Not here. God is not some sort of superhero. He's not Batman who's going to show up and get rid of all the mean things that are mistreating you in life. Now, in some scenarios, I wish that were the case. Someone wants to harm a child or harm a woman. I wish the Lord would let me show up and take care of it. Or the Lord Himself show up and take care of it. But those things get reconciled in eternity. And the idea is that you run to Jesus Christ, you run to God for refuge in those things, for help, for comfort, for healing, because horrible things happen to people all the time in this world, and they damage people psychologically, emotionally. Well, the only place to get help is to go to God. And what ends up happening is they say, why did God do this to me? God didn't do that to you. Man did that to you. They said, why don't God get rid of the evil? Well, it's man, including you, that He would have to get rid of. God did not do it to you. God is where you need to go for help, for refuge, for comfort. And so people end up, you know, approaching those things the wrong way, and they cut themselves off from the one who loves them, who wants to help them. And all those things are going to be reconciled. I don't care whoever thinks they've gotten away with something. I'm just, if you could hear the sound of my voice, as I tell you as genuinely and as sternly as I can, you are going to answer to God. And that's going to be a rough day for you. It is going to be a horrible day for you. So whatever you think you've gotten away with, you haven't gotten away with anything. Whoever you think you've harmed and nobody knows about it, or they can't say anything about it, or they have no recourse, that recourse is coming. But it's you wished the recourse was some local government. Because when you stand before God and have to answer, it's going to be a rough day for you. It's going to be a horrible day for you. So We are going to be changed. We're going to be given new bodies. We're going to be transfigured. We're going to be made like our bodies are going to be made like the Lord Jesus Christ. No more sin, no more evil. And he's going to take us to be with him. It's all going to be gone. And that day is rapidly approaching. It could be in the next 5 minutes. There is nothing from stopping that day from coming right now. Now, it could be another 1,000 years. I'm under the impression that it's going to be very soon. It's been about 2,000 years since the Lord Jesus Christ was on the earth. There's a very good chance it's coming very soon. I have no idea when that day is, and neither does anybody else. No matter how many people try and tell you, well, it'll be on June 2nd, 2028. The Lord will probably make sure it doesn't happen on that day just because of you. You know, that when Harold Camping was doing all that garbage, I might have told you, I had a friend in New York. He was a pastor, and Harold Camping had convinced all these people that Jesus was coming back. These people sold their houses, sold everything they had. Some of them sold everything they had, went and sat on the roof of their house and were waiting for Jesus to come back. A horrible situation. And this is the second, third time he's done this, and they believed him every time. And so my friend called his radio station, called Harold Camping, and said, the Lord's coming back tomorrow. Yes, he is. And he's like, so then you don't need your money or your radio station. Would you like to go ahead today and donate those things to me so that when the Lord comes tomorrow, you don't have to worry about what happened to them? Click. He hung up the phone. Why not put your money where your mouth is? I mean, you convinced everybody else to sell all their stuff. How come you still got yours? You loser. He got their money. He got their devotion. But he wasn't willing to follow his own teaching. You know, he's sitting at home in his big, nice house with his nice radio station still collecting money while all the people who followed him and trusted him sold everything and is sitting out there waiting for Jesus to come. And another day passed. And another day passed. And another day passed. And nothing happened. And then they want their stuff back. And of course, he has an excuse for why. Well, the reason it didn't happen this time is because you're a liar. That's why it didn't happen. You're a liar. All right, so when somebody comes and tells you, I know when the rapture is going to be. And this is what they say now. There's a guy who teaches this now. It's absolutely ridiculous. This is the new thing. He says, well, the Lord says you can't know when the second coming is. But he didn't say you can't know when the rapture is. Just go sit down and shut up. All right, stop. Stop with all this. Just, you don't know when the Lord's coming. The first time or the second time or the third time. All right, so when he came into the world to die on the cross, you don't know when that is. The Lord didn't give us a date. All right, we know about when it was, but we don't really know when it was. We don't know exactly when it was. You don't know when he's coming to get his saints. You have no idea. You have no indication. And I watched one of their videos. They went through all these verses that was just a bunch of random numbers in the verses, and they forcefully put all these numbers together, though they had no relationship to each other. And they say that because of all these verses, you can know when Jesus is coming. And I don't know if the day has passed yet. I don't know if they'll keep changing it like Harold Camping does. Or just the Watchtower did it. Harold Camping did it. It's a common thing in false religion. So we don't know when the Lord's coming. He's coming. And there's good reason to believe it's very soon. It's very possible that it will be very soon. Now, what does very soon mean to me, and what does it mean to the Lord? Two very different things. All right, so I'm not telling you it's going to be. I think it could be in the next 5 minutes. And I also think it could be in the next 1,000 years. And both of those would be very soon for the Lord Jesus Christ. For us, we're like, 1,000 years? I mean, that's a long time. Yeah, and the Lord said, no, it's just a day. 1,000 years is as a day. And a day is 1,000 years. It's like, you know, so it's up to the Lord. We just wait for him to come and obey him till then. How about Daniel 12? We'll finish up with this one. Daniel chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. Now, it's interesting in the Bible. Michael the archangel is always connected to Israel. Right? It's rare, though there might be one or two times where you see him outside of that, outside of some sort of ministry to Israel, but he is directly attached to Israel. So when you see him in the Bible doing something, it's almost always related to some sort of service or labor or protection or whatever of the nation of Israel. It's always related to Israel. And here we are again. And at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. Now, who are the children of Daniel's people? Israel, the Jews, yes. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never since there was a nation, even to that same time. Now, what trouble would that be? The tribulation. A time that this is. So when the Lord said this in Matthew 24, he's to some extent quoting the book of Daniel. All right. So that the time of trouble. This is the way Jeremiah put it: is the time of Jacob's trouble. It's directly related to Israel. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life. Does that sound familiar? And some to shame and everlasting contempt. All right, so that's that similar idea. This prophecy matches what the Lord said in John 5. But the context is a future resurrection. And so a resurrection always accompanies a rapture in the Bible. Anytime you read about a rapture, there will first be a resurrection of some sort, almost every time. All right, so they're always linked together. Now, when the first fruits were taken to be with the Lord in the air, the Lord himself, as well as many Old Testament saints, rose from the dead before captivity was taken captive. So that's the first fruits. That's the first part of the first resurrection. And what happened is Jesus Christ and the Old Testament saints rose from the dead, and then they were taken captivity. Paradise was taken from the heart of the earth up into heaven. And people who were in paradise are still in paradise, but paradise is physically located in heaven at this time, at this point in time. All right. So, and we'll look at all that more in the future and try to make sense of it all. When the main harvest comes, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then those alive in Christ shall be called up afterwards. So once again, there's a resurrection. They are called up. That's the rapture. And then those who are alive in Christ are called up to meet the Lord in the air. So we all will be with the Lord. So whenever there's a rapture, there will typically first be a resurrection of some sort. And then they'll all be called up to be with God, either in heaven or to meet the Lord in the air, depending on the situation. The final resurrection will include both the lost that rejected Christ, as well as the dead saints that predate the resurrection of Christ, and those who die after the church is taken away. Now, the word saint in your Bible, you have the saints who are in Christ Jesus. Those are people who trusted in the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says God makes us kings and priests, and we are also called saints. All right, but people who died prior to the church age were also called saints. And according to Hebrews 11, these all died in faith. All right, that's if they died in faith, that is, they trusted whatever word God gave them. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. So Abraham died and went to paradise because he died in faith. Right? Everybody got me so far? Now, when you get to the tribulation, that idea returns. People die in faith will go to be in paradise, and some of them will go, some of them will be killed during the tribulation, and those who are killed during the tribulation will be under the altar in heaven, and all those different things that take place. And we'll get into more of that later. Right now, I'm just trying to get you familiar with the idea. So then, the resurrection of the dead, when death and hell give up those that are dead, that will be a mixture of those who rejected Jesus Christ and did not trust in the Lord, and those who died in faith because they have not been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. All right. So they're not going to be at the great, they're not going to be at the judgment seat of Christ with the church. What we have is very special. It's only available to people in the church age. All right, so if you died in faith before the church age, you died and went to paradise. You didn't go to heaven. You die in faith after the church age, unless you were murdered for your faith, then you likely go to paradise. Then all those people will be judged together at the great white throne of judgment. But if you died in faith, you will pass into the kingdom, not into heaven. All right? And if you rejected God, rejected his word, then you're going to be cast into the lake of fire for eternity. All right? Everybody got that? Good. You're all looking at me like I just unloaded on you. So now the final, so that's the final, and the Bible calls that in Revelation, I believe it's Revelation 20, calls it the final resurrection, or no, the first resurrection, when all that is complete. Amen? All right, good. Now, if you placed your trust in God in accord with his word at any point in history, he will return to take you to be with him. That's what you have to look forward to. God, if you trusted God the way he said, then you are in his hands. Now, some of us, what's given to the church is very, very special, very unique. It's not available to anybody outside the church age. It is unbelievably unique to us, and it is incredible. All right, so you basically get to be Jesus Christ to some extent, for lack of a better way to explain it, because you trusted Jesus Christ, because you're washed in his blood. So you get part of his inheritance. You get to go wherever he goes. You get to have whatever he has in heaven, minus the worship. Nobody's coming to worship us, but everybody's going to look at us at the church and say, wow, look what Jesus did for eternity. All right, so we get this unbelievably special place all throughout eternity because you trusted in Jesus Christ and because you were born and alive during this time. Abraham is not part of the bride of Christ, the body of Christ. Moses, not look, those two men have their place, obviously, in the way all this played out. Daniel, as incredible as Daniel is, he's not washing the blood of Jesus Christ. We are. All right, and so those people will enter into the kingdom, but they won't be going into heaven. They won't have the benefits that we have. They won't be doing what we are doing because we trusted in Jesus Christ. It's very different. That, I see a question mark on your face. I'm sorry?
Are we going to cover this tomorrow night?
We will cover as much of this. Yeah, not tomorrow night, but tomorrow night will be more of an introduction. But the plan is to get to this part of it. There's a lot to it, and I'm hoping in the time that we have, we can cover. I will try and cover. I'd like to cover all the material I have on it, but we will cover as much as we can. Yes, and so those nuances don't get covered much in Bible teaching because a lot of men don't study enough to know that those nuances exist. It's one of those things where a lot of times guys don't know what they don't know. they kind of lump everything together. And they're like, well, Daniel's in heaven. Well, not exactly. Daniel's in paradise, which is in heaven. All right, but he's not in heaven. He's not freely roaming around in heaven. He's in paradise. Jesus took captivity captive. Paradise still exists there, and they're all waiting for the Lord to come back, put down his enemies, and reestablish his kingdom on earth, where they will come and be part of the kingdom. All right, David is going to be returned to his throne, all right? So the Bible says that God the Father gave that throne to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is going to resurrect David and put him back on that throne. And then David will rule over the nation. So Jesus will rule over everything. David will rule over the nation of Israel, and the nation of Israel will rule over the other nations. That's what's coming. So you think people hate the Jews now? Wait till that day. You think they're in charge of the banking and they're in charge of the world now? Wait till Jesus Christ makes everything right. They're going to be in charge of all the nations. So that's why when I hear people who claim to be Christians talking about how Israel's being mean to Palestine and being mean to Hamas and all this, you can't be a Christian and say something like that. If you do, it demonstrates an incredible lack of understanding. All right? God said, I will bless those who bless Israel. Now, that doesn't mean I have to be happy with everything that this current organization or this current administration called Israel does, but too many people in that current nation are descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I want to see them blessed. I want to see them helped. I want to be part of a nation who blesses that nation, because one day Jesus Christ is going to judge the nations based on what they did to Israel and how they treated Israel. You want to be real careful with that stuff. So people, somehow it's become popular to talk about how Israel's being too mean to Hamas. Well, how mean are you? Well, I mean, what's the limits, you know, what's the limits of retaliation to someone who raped your women, murdered your people, threw your children into ovens and lit them on fire? What exactly are you supposed to do with these people? Go give them a hug and tell them you love them? No, you send them a missile. You write "I love you" on the missile and send it right over. That's what you do. All right. So, we're at a really odd point in the world. This next election, I don't know what happens if a reasonable human being who loves Israel doesn't become the president. We're nigh unto World War III right now, and if you don't get a strong man in the office that this world respects and fears, I don't like Donald Trump. I wish we had a better option, but that man was unbelievably pro-Israel, and the dictators in this world sat down and shut up when he was president. And the one who tried to get a little bit sideways, he hit them so hard they just got real quiet for the remainder of his time in office. All right, so you really need to be praying for our nation. And I have no confidence that politics was going to fix our problems. But man, it sure is a lot more comfortable having a strong man as our president than not. And so we got a lot to pray about for our country. And even so, come Lord Jesus. And it's coming.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. You can learn more about our ministry by visiting www.plenteousredemption.com. You can hear more Plenteous Redemption podcast audio at www.plenteousredemption.media. Please comment below if this podcast has been a help to you. Also, inform us of future topics that would interest you. Thank you again for listening to the Plenteous Redemption podcast.